living in the days where God is separating the sheep from the goats. The Bible talks about that very clearly in the book of Matthew, about the separation from the sheep of the sheep and goats. And I believe there's sheep and goat nations. There's some nations that will turn to God, some nations that will turn away from God. And it doesn't mean that everybody in the nation will necessarily turn to God, nor does it mean that everybody in a particular nation will turn away from God. But as a whole, there'll be nations that will turn to God and nations that will turn from God, and they'll go into greater darkness and the other nations will come into greater light. And it's up to you and I to be praying for our own nation, that will be a nation that will embrace the light of the gospel, embrace the things of God. We need to pray that our governments will have wisdom and that they'll obey the wisdom that comes from God. And you might say, well, you know, they're making bad choices and they're doing wrong things and this and that and the other thing, all kinds of things that we could pick apart about them. But God doesn't need a saint on the throne in order to lead a nation. He doesn't. He proved that throughout history. And when we look at the Babylon and how God had used King Nebuchadnezzar and some other kings in the Old Testament as well, King Cyrus, there were heathen kings, but yet God used them for his purposes. And so we don't have to pray for necessarily Christian leaders. It'd be nice to have Christian leaders and people who are really after God. That'd be great, but that doesn't necessarily mean even the Christian leader is going to follow God to the nth degree. But we do know that if God's people will pray, turn from their wicked ways, will seek his face, that he will come and heal our land. So it's about what God's people does more than what the leaders do. We're going to go into a few things this morning, share a little bit about some of the things I've been talking about the last couple of weeks, but let's turn to the greatest bestseller of all times for a moment. And what's that book? It's called the Bible. There are so many Bibles that have been printed and sold around the world that they really don't know the official count of them. It's still the bestseller, year after year. In the book of Psalm chapter 31, verse 19, it says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of man." So he's saying here that even in the presence of the sons of men on the earth here, oh, how great is your goodness that is stored up for us. How great the things we have that can come from God to us so that we might enjoy them. Let me read to you from the Message translation, that same scripture. What a stack of blessings you have piled up for those who worship you. That's a good way to put it. What a stack of blessings that you have piled up, stored up, ready to be poured out on upon us, ready and waiting for all who run to you to escape an unkind world. Do you feel that the world is unkind? You ever sense that? For me personally, I don't have to look too far to see that the way the world's system is set up, it's rather unkind. It's not set up in such a way for wholesomeness. It's not set up in such a way, for instance, to honor the family. It's not set up in such a way to, in order to get the needs of everybody met. Because all we have to do is look around the world today and know that the world has so many things to offer, has so much richness, but yet there are people who are starving. There are people who are doing without. The balance that man controls is not really working at all. Man, out of greed and pride and so forth, have a tendency to fight and loot and take advantage of the disadvantaged. So that's part of the world system, and it's unkind. Now, we are to love the world, but we are not to join in with the world in those things. We are to love those who need to be brought into the kingdom of God, but we don't necessarily join in with those who do worldly things, we'll say, or things that are not right with God. What do I mean by that? Well, we are to love the child abuser, but we don't love his actions, because God can change the child abuser. He can bring hope into their lives. And if somebody will extend love to them, often we'll see that change. We'll see the power of God change them. We don't love the actions. We truly don't. God has prepared a stack of blessings for those who will worship him. So how important it is for us to be caught up in worship, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 4:7, we talked about this. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. We found that wisdom is the number one thing that we should be seeking after. We talked about how important it was in Proverbs 16:16. Get wisdom. It's worth more than money. Choose insight over income every time. Choose insight over income. Again, the Message translation. Choose the wisdom that can gain wealth rather than wealth. If we'll gain the wisdom, everything that we need will come our way. If we'll gain wisdom from God. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom, say that with me. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom from God is the principal thing. Now, how many people here need to hear from God about a certain thing? You've got something in particular in your heart. You need to hear from God. Sure, lots of people. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I make this declaration over these people right now. I want you to put your hand up. Those who put your hand up, hold it up high. I'm praying particularly for you right now. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have declared through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They hear it and they obey my voice. So, Father, I thank you for ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear upon these people right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I come against and I stand against every demonic foe that would hinder the hearing from the Spirit, the things of God that these people need to hear. I stand against every demonic foe that would try to harass and try to distort the channel of hearing from the Spirit of God today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I demand you to desist in your operations, devil, upon these people in the name of Jesus. And I open the pathways to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to these people this day in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare that these people hear from God. They hear with clarity from God in the name of Jesus. The thing that they are desiring to know comes to them. The wisdom of God is upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak that and declare it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So as we speak words, Jesus' words, we can expect to have life imparted to us. We can expect that the life of God comes into us. Now, you can sit there and get absolutely nothing, no life of God at all. You know that? You can take these things so lightly that they just go right over your head. You don't even reach out and grab them in your spirit. You have to be able to set yourself in a place where you're paying attention to what God is saying to you now. If you find my preaching boring, then just shut me off and say, Jesus, what are you saying to me? But at least sit there and say, Jesus, what are you saying to me this morning? What are you saying to me? And it might come through me, or it might just rise up in your spirit, what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. Don't put all the pressure on the pastor, on the speaker, whether you're going to hear from God or not this morning. You reach out and grab a hold of the things of the Spirit that God is saying to you. One of the things that the Lord, I believe, is impressing upon us to realize is that today we are living in a day, you and I are living in a day where we have authority over the works of darkness. We have authority over the things of darkness. We have authority over the enemy who would try to mess you up, try to mess your finances up, try to mess your health up, try to mess your relations up, try to mess your family up. We have authority over the demonic spirits that will try to do that. And when we take authority over those demonic spirits, then we can stand up and tell him to get his hands off of them in the name of Jesus, so that the things that we do will be blessed of God and we'll be able to walk into our destiny. But since we have authority, we've said this last week, since we have authority over the demonic forces, we'll never be able to say the devil made me do it. You can come in and say to me anytime, I'm caught up in this kind of addiction, or I'm caught up in this going this way that I don't want to go, and it seems like the devil is just harassing me, making me go there all the time. Well, if you say that to me, I'll say, let's sit down. We need to read the Bible. Because the Bible says the devil doesn't necessarily make you do anything, because you have authority over the devil. Either we do, or Jesus told a lie. Because he said, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. That includes demonic forces. And he said, because I have all this authority now, you go. You go and preach the gospel. You go and take that and exercise that authority among the nations. Now, if we can exercise the authority among the nations, surely we can in our own home, in our own body. Sometimes we think we can't even exercise authority over our own body. Yeah, we can. God give us authority. Jesus came, died on the cross, rose again from the dead so that we might have victory over darkness. Praise God forevermore. That excites me, because as long as I realize that, there's no devil in hell can keep me down. Luke 10:17, Jesus sent out the 70, and they came, he sent them out to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and they came back rejoicing. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That was a surprise to them. And I'm convinced they were amazed with that. When they went out and came out against all kinds of demonic forces, that they cast them out and they come back excited. They said, even the demons that we've seen hold sway over people, over villages, over individuals for years and years, even those very demons were subject to us in our name, in your name. I mean, it must have been amazing to them. Because in that land especially, it is, I'm convinced, it's the same thing over here, but it's done in a lot more subtle way. But in Africa and places like that, there can be whole villages under the power of a witch doctor or a demonic force. When the disciples went forth and started casting out devils and healing the sick, I'm convinced that some of those principalities and powers were moved out of their place. And the disciples thought, oh, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing, the authority that we walk in. I'm just thinking of a story right now that David Hogan tells. David Hogan is a man of God who works a lot in Mexico and works in the bush and does, you know, he's raised so many people from the dead. God has raised so many people from the dead through his ministry. And they just go out and do all kinds of a bush ministry. And he said one time they were called to this particular village in this area, and this woman was in a tent, and she was on this kind of hill in a tent, and he went in there, and he was called to pray for her. And he said he went in there, and it was just an absolute mess of a woman, of a body, was really harassed by the devil, and she was laying on a cot, and her bones were all distorted, and a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, it was just a mess, just a real mess. And he said when he walked in there, he said the atmosphere, you could cut it with a knife. It was so oppressed. There was so much oppression upon that place. And he said he knew the authority and the power of God was on him. So he went in there and he laid hands on that individual. Then he said he heard the words, get out of there now, to leave now. And he said there was about three or four elders of a church that was in that town, and they weren't really all that familiar with what was going on, but they were with them. And they started walking out, and he said you could sense the presence of the demonic forces. And he said he knew he was dealing then with a principality. You see, that's what happens sometimes when in villages and communities and even over regions, that a principality will take host. A captive will take someone and minister through that host. Terrible things will happen to them, but they will have their base of operation sometimes through an individual. And we can prove that out in Scripture in the book of Acts, but we're not going to go right there right now because I just want to get in onto some other things. But in this particular case, David Hogan said they were walking out and he knew they were dealing with a principality. And he told his elders, he said, if you guys need to repent, you better do it right now. Because he knew they were in a place where if the devil had a hook into somebody, devastation could come. And when you're dealing with those things, you want to walk in the fear of the Lord. And when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, then you stay away from things that would allow the devil to get a hook into you. Stay away from sin, for instance. If you're caught in sin, if you're caught in adultery, and you can live the rest of your life just perfect and it looks like everything's holy, but if you're caught in adultery, that's a hook that the devil can get into, and he'll find a way into your life one way or the other if you're leaving an open door for him. So he told these men, he said, if you need to repent of anything, do it right now. And he said they walked out this pathway, and at the end of this pathway, there was this gate, and they walked through the gate. And he said, and everybody got out of the gate, they heard the gate swing open again. And they said they could sense this presence following them. And David Hogan said they turned around, and he said all of a sudden there was a fireball that came out of that tent where that woman was in, and it swooped down around them and took off. He realized then, because of what had just taken place, he had come up against a principality and power, and that principality and power was challenged by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, it was a week later, he was in a meeting, and that person who he had prayed for came up to him and said, "You remember me?" He said, "I don't think I've ever seen before you in my life." And it was this particular person, he couldn't even recognize them, that they had been totally healed, and the village had been changed because of the challenge of the principality and power. You see, we have authority over the demonic forces, but if we don't use it, those demonic forces will have sway over us. Now, I feel that the Lord is saying something to us this morning. This is kind of off in a direction that I didn't plan on going. I don't have this in my notes, but I believe the Lord is saying to us that it's time for the church to rise up and take its authority. And the first place we take our authority is live right. Live right. Don't try to take authority over the devil if we're not living right. Live right before God. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing will by any means harm you." Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing will by any means harm you. I declare that over my own life and over my family. The devil has no authority to touch our families if we'll speak the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over them. Now, we mentioned last week the Apostle Paul's declaration when he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, the Jew first and also to the Gentiles," Romans 1:16. He said the gospel is the power of God unto deliverance, wholeness, healing, prosperity to all who believe. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. The word salvation speaks to us about deliverance from all molestation of the devil. Everything that the enemy throws at us, the gospel is the answer for what the enemy throws at us. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer for all the woes of the world and all the woes that you might have. The gospel, pay attention to the gospel. I'm not talking about just coming to church on Sunday morning and hearing the gospel being preached. I'm telling you, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer for whatever is wrong in your life. If we'll obey it, we'll find deliverance. Because that's what salvation is all about. So the gospel tells us that we are in a battle. There is a battle that we are waging in every day. You and I are in a battle. It ought to be remembered that when we wake up in the morning, that we are about to face an enemy. And the enemy will try to throw us off. But we have more than enough to defeat him. We have more than enough resources to come against the enemy. And I don't care if that's an enemy of oppression, an enemy of depression. We have what it takes to fight off that enemy. We have what it takes to do battle. We are in a battle. As I said earlier, sometimes in North America here, we don't recognize the battle that we are in. But if we were in a place like Egypt, when those people who are now in a place of, they don't know whether their homes are going to be trashed, the Christians are going to be, and whether their families are going to be carried away. There's one report on CBC that talked about a Catholic church they went into and they trashed the thing, but they also took the nuns in there and paraded them in the streets as if they were prisoners of war and abused them as they were walking down the streets. You know, and the people that is causing that to happen, that is doing that to them, they're not the enemy. It's the principalities and powers over the region that's moving on these people to do this. And you and I, when we are in a battle, we have to realize that even if it's dealing with another individual, that they're not the enemy. There are forces arrayed against us, trying to hold us back and trying to manipulate us into fighting one another rather than fighting the real enemy. That is the devil. There is still a battle for the souls of men. And Jesus said, the scripture says that Jesus came that he might destroy the works of the devil, came that he might destroy all the things of darkness that we see. Jesus came to transform our communities. Folks, how do you think of a community could be ever be transformed? It starts out by me being transformed, by my family being transformed, and it goes out from there. Transformation has to come at the very grassroots. Otherwise, it will not happen. We think it's all out there. First of all, it's in me. What do I think of the Word of God? How much of my attention am I paying to the Word of God? We are in a place, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. And you might sound, well, that's kind of negative, Pastor Bill. I mean, do you think that, you know, do we have to, life is so good. Why can't we just enjoy life? Well, I suppose you can and die and still go to heaven. I'm not saying you can't do that. But I am saying this, that if we are going to fulfill the commission that God has given us to advance the kingdom of God, we have to realize that we're in a battle. And I believe that if we don't, even if we don't care to get involved in a battle, even if we kind of throw up our hands and say, well, that's not my fight, even if we say that, I believe that soon as we think that we're not in a battle, we're on the losing end. Because whether we are going to fight or not, the enemy is going to. The enemy is going to try to influence us. So we need to step up to the place to realize that we are in a battle. And if we are in a battle, see, the thing is, most of the church is asleep, not realizing that we're in a battle, and therefore they won't prepare themselves for the battle. And they'll take loosely the things that God has given us. The chance to be able to come together and grow in the body of Christ and to be able to encourage one another, those things are all part of the battle.